waffles for your waffles for dinner.
They were so good. And Colin, we threw out the two mini ones that Kenzie and I would use to make little keto pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like honestly dangerous. They were just coated in oil that wouldn't come off. So we just threw them out. And then we impulsively went to Walmart last night, got a bigger waffle maker for like $20. And we got, Colin got pecans for his waffles. I didn't want that. He got chocolate chips and I got Reese's peanut butter chips.
Nice.
And I split between the two. He's like, there's only one chocolate chip one. You didn't ask. And I was like, you didn't offer. And I ripped half of it and gave him half of my peanut butter one. It was the best thing ever.
It was so good. I love my waffle maker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use it that often, but every once in a while I'll be like, you know what sounds good right now? Waffles.
It's a fucking vibe.
Except the last time I pulled the waffle maker down from the cabinet, the like catch at the bottom that like catches the grease fell, and it hit me right in the nose, and my nose swelled up.
Your nose swelled.
Swelled. I know. I put on those shorts to show Kenzie my outfit, and I was like, every time I look at my left leg, I'm reminded of how weak it is because I don't have muscle there since my knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, the shorts look good. I was like, I know, but like, I should be toned. Mm-hmm. I should be flexing. And I can't. It's bittersweet. Yeah. It's okay.
I was looking at you during board game night and I was like, wow, she's so fucking hot.
I can't with you. Honestly, now that I have to like put clothes on, obviously I'm not like putting on my favorite outfits, but I do love like that button up that I got from Target, that like cropped black one. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that plain black button up, like it's just short sleeve.
Yeah, I love it.
Bro, I think it looks so good.
You wear it to tons of interviews.
Well, I wore it to work today with my dark brown khakis, and I was like, I look good.
Why, you do look good. You should be confident.
Thanks, I try. I was content.
I was content.
Content. Are you using your microphone or are you using your headphones with the mic?
Oh my god. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I drifted off.
You're okay. It just sounded different for a second, so I was like, is she not using her microphone?
I was talking towards the wall. I was like looking around. I was like, hello. Hey, what's up, man?
That's so funny. Well, today we're able to record without a 4-year-old interrupting because she got her tonsils removed this morning.
So what, why are you bragging about that? Where is she? Is she okay?
Oh, yeah. She's dead. No, I'm kidding. She's just sleeping downstairs.
Oh my god.
She's in a lot of pain and she can only sleep sitting straight, like sitting up. She can't lay down.
Aww.
So she's been sleeping on the couch in and out. Like when I came home, she was like wide awake and I was like, hey Kamari, how are you doing? And she just didn't say anything.
Man.
I was like, does it hurt? And she shook her head and I was like, okay.
You're a fucking jerk, dude. You know that?
Bro, what did I do?
You fucking making fun of a kid.
I never made fun. Everybody. I was just letting you know because I know last time we tried to record, she came in like 3 times in the first 5 minutes. So,
that is true.
Don't worry.
She had it coming.
It's
fine. She fucking had it coming.
Yeah. She forced me to play Barbies last night at 10 o'clock.
Play Barbies?
Yeah. At 10 o'clock, she pulled out all of her Barbies. And then when I said no after 10 minutes, she just started placing a bunch of fake food around me on the bed. Like, I'll send you the picture later. I just have pictures of, like, all this food sitting around me because you kept trying to get me to pretend to eat it.
She's so funny.
She is funny. I love her. She's great.
I feel like the way that you saw her versus, like, you know, how she is, like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Let's just make everything clear. She did hate me. She did stick her tongue at me and say only mean things to me for the first 4 years of her life. I'm sorry, the last 3 years, because obviously she was a baby. She even admitted, she said, because she can't say Aunt Mariah, she said, Aunt Mariah, you know, I used to hate you and I used to be mean to you, but now I like you. So even she knows that she was a little brat.
Well, like, you probably had it coming in the beginning. Like, I think that you just needed to redeem yourself. And if you think about it, that's how you've formed, like, all of your relationships.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, you hate everybody till you like them.
That's not true.
That is true. I hope you're recording.
We are.
Sometimes you're onto something with it, though.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, you know, obviously it sucks having my walls up sometimes, But sometimes it protects you. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Sometimes it makes you look stupid.
Oh, well. It got me to where I am today.
You're listening to Post-Credit Depression, where we're discussing this week's current hyperfixation. My name's Kaylin. My fun fact is... give me a second. I had it this morning on my way to work. Hold on, it's coming back. What was it?
We'll just take a new fun fact.
Damn, that sucks. I saved it. It was about you.
Dang.
It was about, like, I know how to trigger her. I forgot the trigger.
Well, my name's Mariah, and my fun fact is we are recording late because I had strep throat.
My fun fact is I had waffles for dinner.
Nice. With remind Reese's me when we're done recording, Kaylin, to take my antibiotics, because I usually take it right around 7.
Say that again.
Remind me when we're done recording to take my antibiotics.
Just say the one word, the last one.
Antibiotics.
Okay, thank you.
Stop. antibiotics.
I can't even say it because I feel like you fucked me up now.
I think I did. I don't know what I did wrong.
I'm from the South though, so I might be saying it wrong. I go.
How do you? If I pronounce it correctly, it's antibiotics.
When we get off the podcast, can you remind me to take my antibiotics?
Yeah. See, you said it how I thought I said it in my brain.
Antibiotics.
Okay. Anyways, moving on. If you haven't noticed, Kinsey's not here. This is our second week in a row with only duos, but it's fine.
We didn't record last week. Oh, wait. Oh, technically the week before that was me.
Yeah, to our listeners that are listening, which I'm not kidding, Kaylin.
The podcast has not been real the past month.
I know. It's been, I've relocated. Kinsey's doing whatever Kinsey does.
You haven't even said that fun fact.
I think we mentioned it the episode before Mean Girls.
I don't care anymore.
Doesn't matter. It's been a lot. Kaylin's job has been sucking butt, but she's been living life. Kinsey's doing whatever the heck Kinsey does, and I have relocated.
My job. I just got my, for my business. You mean my business has been popping off?
That's actually what it is. It ain't Kaylin's part time job. It's her entrepreneurship that's popping off.
Thank you. It's the other. You're right. That's what's keeping you busy. Side job. My little side piece. That's the one that
has been sucking, but the entrepreneurship that Kaylin is doing has been popping off, and she's been really busy. Everyone.
I will say it's not as bad as being a farm tech, but I mean that's just any job with retail though.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
But
we're back.
Yeah, we're back, and I'm super excited because I really liked what Mariah brought forth to the table for Black History Month, and I feel like it's got a lot of great topics for us to talk about.
Black History Month is over. It's actually Women's History Month, and this is just as good.
Dude. You got to understand, though, that, we watched it during Black History Month.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I really wanted to make sure the representation was included.
Yeah. I mean, do we even know what race V is?
You're not wrong. We don't.
I mean... challenging the government bodies and keeping up with history, he was collecting history,
there was clearly a reason why he was kidnapped and put into these tests, and that's probably because he stood out from the norm.
So
you're not wrong. I think
his ideals are giving freedom And all those good things, I like the topics.
It's giving Underground Railroad, Kaylin.
It's giving Underground Railroad. Dude, I was straight up there was an Underground Railroad in this movie.
There was. You are correct.
Not the one we're going to hell.
Anyway, this week I made Kaylin watch V for Vendetta. I watched this movie the first time. I watched I think when I was 12, I watched the second half of this movie because I vividly remembered the second half more than the first. But I watched this movie when I was too young to be watching this movie. I was like, I don't know what I just watched, but it was good.
I wish I saw this movie at age 12.
Well, I didn't retain anything because I had to rewatch it when I was 16.
The parts I retained the most were in V's kitchen and living room.
what I remember from like age of 12 was actually the scene where the girl went back and like was getting her head shaved and the story about like the queer women. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I remember from 12. So like in my perspective, I was like, I should not be watching this. I'm 12 years old and this girl's being tortured and we're talking about gay people and this guy is about to blow up the parliament and he's dead. Like that's what I remember from the age of 12, which I probably was too young to be watching.
Yeah, honestly, like, ooh, we should probably start from the beginning or else I'll
yeah, we'll totally you. Start from the beginning. So you thought this was a horror film that I was making you watch, which
okay,
is
so past, it's The Mask. So
I do that.
You know, I know the anonymous people, they use this mask when they yes. do stuff like where certain hackers will do it for good or something. Or trolls who don't know what the fuck like they're doing and they're just spamming. They'll use it just anytime they want to stay anonymous. They use this mask. I, for some reason, kind of paired it with like the Saw mask a little bit in my head. Mm. So when I saw this, I was like not looking forward to it because I was just like, dang. Like I ended up liking Final Destination because it was more comedic than it was scary. But I also wasn't looking forward to watching Final Destination. Anything with mm-hmm. any sort of like, especially 2000s like time era horror, I'm probably not going to look forward to it. Even if it ends up being good, and I eat my words, and I'm like, that was really good. I'm glad I watched it. That doesn't mean I looked forward to it. So, sitting down and quickly discovering, like, they did a really good job with the introduction as like what this kind of film is and what the flavor is, and immediately I was hooked. Immediately I was like, you know, kind of sitting up in my chair and like ready to take it in because I had missed. Completely missed the mark on what this movie was going to be about.
Yeah, I mean, I would have warned you specifically if it was a horror film because, I mean, Kinsey will just watch anything, but I would have warned you, been like, it is a scary movie, heads up, because I'm not even that big in scary movies. But I actually wanted to show this film like a while ago, but I was kind of nervous. I was like, with the you know, the place that we are in the world right now. Yeah. I was like,
and it was Black History Month.
Yeah, and it was, and I waited for Black History Month, you know.
I'm just kidding.
I know that Kinsey specifically will dive deep into like giving fucking fighting the government. So I was like, is this the time with everything else going on in the world? You know, our government sucking.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. I felt like the government was gonna come knocking on my door. Like after I
watched
it.
That's how it feels when we watch it. This movie originally, like whenever it was supposed to be released, it actually was kind of delayed because people were worried that this film would like entice some sort of anarchy in the people. Like I remember my grandma telling me that. It wasn't allowed to be shown in like certain communities, basically, because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find funny because it's not like the movie showed you how to like do any of this. They basically just were like, you should stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at a time where like colored people or like people of other beliefs or religious beliefs or gay people aren't allowed to exist, like this film was probably perfect for people to start sticking up for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Dude, just a side note. While I was waiting for Colin to get home from work so we made our waffles, I watched like the first episode to this docuseries called, oh my god, I forget the name of it, but if you look up the, it's this new one about a school, it's, wait, I got it. Sorry, I'm literally plugging in another show. It's by Catherine Kubler, Ivy Ridge School. It's on Netflix, and it's literally about those like teen ranches that like you'd see on Dr. Phil, where they'd send these like bad kids
it's
off.
It's new, brand new documentary, right?
Brand new one.
I Not was to change just the topic. Telling someone I wanted to watch it. I know what you're talking about.
I watched
about.
The first episode, and it, oh my god, like it actually it reminded me about little bits of parts of my childhood, but specifically with like adults with this power that's unchecked, and. The amount of abuse and trauma that they can just like dump onto children because there's like no cameras, there's no nothing, and like it was pretty deep, but it was interesting. The boys, I watched the first episode, the boys started a riot. They pulled the fire alarms, which unlocked the doors, they smashed windows, they, you know, like destroyed shit and ran away. Like several of them got out, and they were doing it in the hopes that there would spark an investigation in the school to shut it down. But because the school was so like good at marketing, they're like, oh my god, these kids are so terrible. You can clearly see they need to be in this correctional facility. So they kind of made themselves look a little worse when really it was like this outburst for cry because there was no phones. They censor your letters and shit. Like they'll send it back to you, say like try writing another one. Like, there's no contact to the outside world. So it was like their only hope. Like, how else can you contact the outside world? Yeah. There's like no investigation. But it's crazy. I think that as of right now, like, they're getting blown up. But like, I don't know. I was just saying that, like, that you brought up the word anarchy, and it's just like this really scary pushback. Like, I feel like in this world, you know, he was pushing the people to do what has to be done in order for change to happen. But the thing is like, look, that little girl in the movie, like, dead as hell. Like, the man who had like the Quran in his basement, dead as hell. Like, the thing is like, it's scary to challenge the government or your dictatorship.
Oh, yeah. It's 100%
like
it's not that easy.
Pushback. Yeah.
Like, me as a single person, I can't just decide to stick up to our government right now and be like, fuck you guys, I can't believe you're supporting this, and this, and you're not supporting this, and this. Like, I'm just one person. They can get rid of me like that, and then it's like, okay, everyone's quiet all of a sudden, which I think is, like, so important to, like, how he was making it a point to spread his word repeatedly. Like, he was like, I need everyone to be aware. So it wasn't just like, it's not as simple as just being like, I'm fighting the government. It's more like awakening people and revealing information, which is what he was trying to do.
Wait, dude, no, the stars are fucking like aligning right now, because guess, so they had a book banning at this school too, right? Like, banned books. You know what book they missed?
What?
The Count of Monte Cristo. And that's V's favorite fucking book in this movie. Yeah. So I think that's funny, because both talk about like this kind of oppression and this imprisonment, which is funny because the girl in the docuseries was talking about how this book, first of all, she drank a Mike's Harder lemonade at her Christian school and they had a zero tolerance policy. So instead of her dad picking her up, he hired these two men with handcuffs that came, picked her up, like handcuffed her, and took her to the school for drinking a Mike's Hard Lemonade, where she stayed for like 15 months. So she said that when she read this book, like, she had this idea of like false imprisonment. And so it was V was also like falsely imprisoned. So it's like that book, like having access to information that, you know, people try to censor or is banned, it can spark hope. Cause like, instead of that girl like trying to conform, she was like, oh, I'm going to start plotting my revenge. And she said that she went home, she like behaved because she didn't want to get sent back. And a few months later, she turned 18 and she moved the fuck out of her dad's house.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's just like the scariest part of it all is like, obviously our world is not as bad as it is in that camp or in the reality that Viva Vendetta took place in.
It is, though. Like, our world is like in some places
can
of the
easily
world.
Get that bad. Like, we're I mean, just like where we are in general, you know, like it is very simple for the government to just decide to get that bad. Like, we're already at a stage where rights are being taken away and like banned books are a thing. And like, you know, ideally I'd like to find a way for us to stick up to it before it gets that bad, but if it doesn't, like, you're right, like, I'm a single person, I can only do so much. And I think he did a really good representation of trying to show people like, hey, this change is necessary and can be done. I mean,
but
even
like,
if like
it all starts with sparking that hope. So him like having those videos and sending out those masks, that's the only way you gather the people, which, you know,
yeah,
like,
community is the most important thing, literally a community. And it's just funny because he had this plan from the beginning. And I think it's interesting seeing how the girl being added, what the fuck was her name again?
Evie
being added to like his world kind of changed stuff for a split second, but it never changed like the end game of what he wanted to do. Like,
I know
if she was never there, he'd still continue on the same way he did. But it kind of added like this. It showed how the community is and how this hope can change. Like, say she was never there. He still goes through, he kills all these people one by one by one, and then he destroys the parliament or he dies in the process. You know what I mean? Who knows? But like, having Evie there just kind of added this like another person that could spread the word to another person, to another person. And I think it just goes to show like, yeah, keeping at it and showing that community really helps with it. But
yeah,
it's fine. Let's so if we go to the beginning when Evie fucking runs into him, you're like pulled in right
away,
right?
Yeah, she was like about to get, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, they do this very like traumatic looking like about to be, you know, assault scene. And I mean, immediately they make him likable, not just for saving her like damsel in distress.
But even like this
but,
comedy,
like, he had
like
this,
he's
like,
funny, he's charisma.
Yes. It was this, I was going to say this, like, heir to him this almost like it reminded me of like a hero poetic. He was using a lot of alliteration with the V's, which I'm glad that he didn't do the whole movie, but just for his introduction, it was kind of funny. And it wasn't this like, I'm here to be known as the hero. He's like here to fuck shit up. And I liked that.
I love that he always made it known like from the jump, like I like obviously with other words, like I'm not a hero, like I'm not a villain, I'm not a hero. And I think it was a very interesting twist on his character. Like obviously he's like this anti-hero like type person, which is fine.
Oh wait, but what about the very very beginning where it had that guy being executed in like
oh I know you're talking about. Yeah, I just yeah. Kind of, I mean that very very beginning is just kind of setting the scene to let you know like how bad the government system is.
Yeah, because that was like from, it looked like France, like early France or some shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just kind of like setting the scene to let you know, like, this is a scary world that they're in. It's not as simple. Like, the fact that they're showing beheadings, it's like, oh, shit, this is real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then just the idea that he instantly was, like, kind of, like, incapacitated by this woman because of her name and because she, like, what, put up a little bit of a fight.
Like wait, when they come her name back. Is Evie.
Yeah, that's what he literally makes a comment about, how he says like there's no such thing as coincidences, like I was meant to meet you, like because her name is Evie and it like ties to the V's, and he was like we were meant to meet.
I don't
know. Yeah, it's also, like this whole part,
not to jump ahead, but he loved her.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think he saw like a lot of hope in her. So like if you want to go from like, obviously he did not want to continue to keep her into it, but hold on a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on the phone. How's Kamari doing? I thought she was going to not be in pain for a couple days.
Yes, ma'am. Aww. They said it would be worse between day 3 and 5.
Aww.
But it still hurts. And she's so hungry.
I know last night she was asking me everything she could eat, and I was like, no.
Well, she had a map. Soon we got here, Nate has chicken tenders. She said, Daddy, I want some chicken. She like, begged me to eat something.
She can't.
I made her macaroni bowl.
Yeah.
But I'm about to get her some pasta from down
there. Like pastas, and like she said she doesn't like mashed potatoes.
She wants to eat them, but yeah. She might, I don't know.
She asked me if she could eat kiwi. I said, has your mom ever bought kiwi? Ever?
Yeah, but not often.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You're getting Domino's pizza too?
I don't know why.
Oh, I just wanted the slice, but if you're not getting it, don't worry, because I won't eat that much.
But I'm definitely ordering from there.
Okay, I'm okay.
That chicken you made was so good. We had to make that one day.
The chicken
some
I made.
White rice.
Oh, you ate some of it?
It was some on the counter.
Oh, yeah. So,
I'm like, what is this?
It's just general sauce.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I bought white rice and everything. I can make some more for it another time.
Oh, and it was like, I think she just ate the chicken.
I ate the chicken and rice, but I ate all the rice.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Let's I'll make some more one. For it next time.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I'm back.
Your sister sounds hot.
Okay. I can't. Gosh, dang it.
Get back on track, Mariah. What's wrong? Why can't you finish what you were saying?
Because I'm mad at you. Janae's always been the pretty one out of the three of us, so.
Oh, so she don't just sound hot.
No, Janae just has, like, the more conventional, like, beauty standards.
Oh, is that Janae?
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway, we're talking about... and then so obviously he runs into her at, was it the hospital or whatever, that he's like there for his like second part of his fucking mission or whatever, and he makes that big hullabaloo and he makes everyone have the mask on and everything, and that moment is like when you're locked, like that moment locks you in for the movie. I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, I could be wrong for you, but when he like basically tells her like they're gonna keep trying to kill you, and then like the police officers are watching the camera and they're like, yeah, she's like working with him, but like at that moment she's not sure what the hell she's doing.
Yeah, I like where do I set the scene. I think I was definitely intrigued, and I'm like, what's this dude's plan, where are we even, what's going on. I was hooked the moment she got involved, because I wanted him to save her. I was like, yeah, don't leave her behind. Like when she got involved, like spraying the guy with the pepper spray or whatever, she gets knocked out, and he's sitting there deciding whether to save her or not. Like,
yes,
you know. And then he made all these good that points when she was whining. I was like, girl, why are you whining? Like, we just got whisked away. But
yeah, and like she actively chose to participate. It's not, I mean, obviously they were coming for her regardless due to like previous situations, but she made her decision, you know?
Yeah, exactly, girl.
And I love that moment when she like wakes up in his little, you know, the Phantom of the Opera vibes, as you had said, yes. When she wakes up in his little basement and he's got his mask on and he's just like whistling away in his room.
Mm-hmm. Making her eggs in a hole.
Oh my God, bruh, let me tell you, Kaylin, the second the eggs in the hole came around, I was like, Kaylin gets me. I was like,
dude, he
called them eggs in a basket, and that's what I call them. And I was like, I remember telling Kaylin how I love eggs in a basket, and she was like, eggs in a hole? God.
Dude, when I first saw his hands, though, I didn't think it was V's. I thought it was some old person's, and I was like, ew.
That's like the only time they show his skin, and it is kind of gross. And like, honestly, you could miss it if you're not watching close enough. That's how fast it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of threw me off for a second too. I was like, oh wait, I forgot mm-hmm. those were his hands.
Yeah.
And but, like, he doesn't give a backstory or anything. Like, his backstory like is slowly getting pieced together. So you're just like, what's wrong?
So
with
she
him?
Worked at the news station with
yes.
Gay man. I'm gonna call him.
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to confirm.
Yeah, I mean, they like worked together, and she was just clearly already a fucking rebel in her own sense. I mean, mm-hmm. she clearly had her own like trauma with like the backstory of her family and stuff. But I think that she like almost chose to be blind to how bad the government was. You know, like clearly her parents educated her well, but due to her own safety, it was like, I am going to keep my head down and do what I have to do. Because this is the shitty world we live in. And then she even talks about later how she felt like so like weak for doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of picked up from those vibes, like, especially when she like, first of all, they kind of like tell it's about to happen when she's like telling him this, like, this is what happened to my family. And he's like, you should feel motivated to change that. And she's like, no, it makes me want to run away. Like, I don't want that to happen to me. But then she comes around and lies to him, saying she'll help him. And mm-hmm. then, like, at first I couldn't believe her when she was telling the Pope guy, like, hey, V's coming for you. I was like, I'm hoping this is some sort of, like, crazy manipulation that she's trying to do. But no, she was genuinely trying to warn him, and that upset me at first.
That one, yeah, it really upset me because, like, at first, like, you're like, there's no way. There's no way she's doing this because she never once, like, shout out to the actress. Never once showed any like inkling that she was lying to V. Like, you're like, yeah, she's doing this. She's going all in to helping him. And if you're watching the film for the first time, you have no reason to believe otherwise. You're just like, cool, they're a duo now and they're going to take down the government.
I know. And that's what I wanted. And we didn't get it.
Yeah, it switches so fast. So like all of a sudden she's telling the truth and she's trying to run away. And you're like, what happened to the romance that was sparking? What about the connection?
I know, I was upset. And then I was like, now where are you going to go? Now where are you? Yeah. And it turned out.
The government's clearly crazy. Like, we're talking like 1984 Big Brother style. Like, they've got cameras everywhere. Like, whenever the cops are talking, they put on those little devices that like block the fucking sound waves or whatever. Like, where are you going to go? So, like, this is a whole nother thing. For someone as her to be so scared about the government, you're not making it easier on yourself, hon. Like, you literally are regularly defying the government and then running away. They're mm-hmm. gonna find you. Like, she would have been better off just staying with V at this point.
Yeah. Well, she goes over to Gay Man's house and I'm like, what are we doing? Like, after Gay Man like puts himself out on TV, like making fun of their dictator, and I was like,
oh my God,
I turned to Colin as soon as I saw the skit about the dictator, and I was like, Colin, I'm sad. I see it coming. Colin, I'm sad. I see it coming. He's like just smiling and laughing at me, not telling me anything. And like, you hear him say how he's like, so what? I'll just write an apology letter. It's fine. And I'm like, you live in North Korea, dude.
No, that's absolutely insane. I don't even think in the United States of America, what I mean, we have a little bit different of our world, but you know, like, I don't even think here do I think I could comfortably getting away with making fun of some of the higher ups. Like, the only people, because we live in a crazy world, I think the people right now who are able to make fun of higher-ups are because they already have connections to the higher-up. You know, the fucking, the people who are all in the same, like, doom hole of, like, millionaires who are all connected, whatever the fucking conspiracy name for them is now, they're allowed to make fun of each other. But me, the normal person right here, I cannot get on a talk show and then make fun of fucking Elon Musk without some sort of consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't think it's possible. So for him to have the balls during a dictatorship.
Yeah, not even a casual, like,
up there and make fun of his dictator is absolutely insane, especially with what he had to hide in his home.
Yeah, no, dude, and a fugitive. I was like, honestly, if I'm giving the movie 1 point, like minus 1 point, it's that felt like a quick way to advance the plot.
Yeah,
they could have came up with something else. I knew that she was going to get discovered there, but I just wish they would have came up with something else.
Except that they were just trying to show that, like, some people are fucking stupid. Like, that guy genuinely thought, like, this is just funny and I'll make a apology sketch and move on. And then it was their way to parallel the idea of, like, her being scared, like, her parents, when her parents got kidnapped. And it's like, what are you going to do differently this time?
Yeah. Then... Sorry for going through this.
No, you're fine. This is good because you actually mentioned to me that you predicted this part, which I found so fascinating. Obviously, I watched a movie when I was 12. I was a wimp that didn't know anything about movies. So I didn't predict this next part when I had originally watched it.
So she gets snatched and it looks like an officer, but immediately I go to Colin. I'm like, that's V. He came in and saved her last second. Great. And then she's getting investigated. And I said to Colin, I was like, that's, and he's not saying a word. I was like, that's V. He's just interrogating her to make sure she's not like a traitor. Cause like, she just lied to him. And then they shave her head. And I was like, oh no, she's caught. I was like, maybe that's not V. They like fool me. I was like, and then, like, the torture, the water torture, leaving her in the fucking cell. Like, I was like, that's too far.
Yeah.
He would never.
I remember being traumatized by the scene when I was, like, a child watching it. I remember thinking, like, how terrifying it was just to be, like, yeah, like, kidnapped, waterboarded, like, all of that. I was like, oh, my God. And it just kept going and going and going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, like, you know, we get the fucking gay letter, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But, like, what I put two and two together was definitely, like, when he goes, you are free. I turned back to Colin and I was like, it's V. And then she walked out of the cell and it was fake soldiers. And I was like, no way. I turned to Colin and I was like, he shaved her head?
Yeah, bro, I'd lose my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You shaved my head for me to learn a lesson? Nah. No, I'm just kidding. I think
they had security footage. I almost cried in that documentary of this black boy fighting back against like all these adult white men trying to shave his head for the school. Like, I was like, I almost cried.
Yeah, I hate them. Obviously, we know, like, V was just, like, you know, it was all like a thing, like he was putting her almost like in the simulation of like what he was in to break her, right? And mm-hmm. while some may say it looks crazy on the outside looking in, I fully see what he was doing. He wanted to, one, make sure that she was really going to do this, right? Like, are you really capable of, like, you said you wanted to break your fear. I'm here to break your fear. I'm here to do it for you. But also in the same complex, he was like, you know, like, no one's understanding. He's the only survivor from, you know, the incident that he went through, right? And it's like, I need someone to understand the pain that I went through. Like, what it feels like to have your government break you down. Because it's not just him. It's all the people before him, all the people after him, and all the people currently that are going through the same process that he's putting her through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people are, like, you know, fully aware of that. And in the same time this is happening, there's, like, the little, like, side story of him distributing the masks, right? Like, the girl who finally took the message of him and is, like, graffitiing the walls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they kill her. And that's, like, a crazy thing.
I was shocked at that scene. Because, honestly, the fake families, I say the fake families as in, like, the actors put together. Mm-hmm. Like, they literally had what's-his-name, Joshua, like, whatever the fuck his name is, from Five Nights at Freddy's and Hunger Games.
Yeah.
PETA. Anyways, they had him as a kid. Josh Hutcherson.
Or whatever. Yeah, Josh Hutcherson.
They had him as a kid. They almost felt like these, like, really fake families or these really, like, skits. And they kind of kept showing these, like, very comedic moments with them, like, being fed up with the government.
But the whole time you can see the kids are, like, locked in.
Yeah. And then, like, to see her running around, like, in this mask, I kind of just still followed it as, like, almost a little comedic. I don't know. The part that was comedic to me wasn't, like, the message behind it. It was just this, like, oh, it's just a little kid playing with a mask, like, and... you know, feeling really inspired by this, you know, anonymous figure. And, you know, to see her literally get shot brought the reality back to it. Like, ooh. Well, yeah,
I think the scary part about that is how much that mirrors reality. Like, I'm talking, like, right now. If, like, you know how people are like, you know, what's the point of saying this, that, or the other? Or, like, celebrities speaking up or showing gay representation or black representation in television shows. And, like, that is an example of it right now. That little girl could have grew up the same way as our main character did, right? Terrified of the world they live in, see their parents kill, yada, yada, yada. But instead, they're getting educated now at a young age. Like, this isn't right. We should be sticking together. We should be sticking up. Like, there's so much going through that little kid's head just because her family's like, sit down and watch TV with us like we do every night. But they're learning the realities of the world we live in. And I think it's so important for young folks, especially, to stay educated now. So I think it really kind of shows, like, this girl, like, knew enough. You know, obviously, she'd know everything. All she knew was the world we live in is wrong. Just like V's saying, it's wrong. We should not be feeling this terrified to live life. And she made it a point to get up and be the rebel that she wanted to be. And then for someone to kill them, it kind of takes you back. Like, obviously, you and I have spoken about, but, like, as a black person in America, like, you see little kids, like, that look like me running around sticking up for what's right, and they end up dead. And it kind of incites, like, it again brings the community together to fight back against what the government's doing. So in the same sense, in V for Vendetta, that girl did nothing to deserve to die. But people were like, bro, you just killed a kid. And then they're like, shit, this government's not right, because that person who just shot a kid is going to get no repercussions for it.
Yeah.
So it's the community is growing and they're like, we're all going to defy the fucking government because this is bullshit.
When you shared Breonna Taylor's, like, post the other day, like, every time her name gets brought up, I just think about, like, she was sleeping in her fucking apartment. I do that every night. And it's like, even though I'm not black, like, how do you not have the empathy to just, like, also be like, that person still is, like, has no consequences. Like,
yeah, I mean, obviously her skin is very important in this conversation, but you take away her skin color and you're still seeing the fact that our government let two police officers come into someone's household and they did something, they killed someone, and they got zero repercussions about it. So as a community as a whole, we should be seeing that as an issue and fighting back towards that. Like, skin color regardless, that's, like, a problem. Our government has too much power. Our police officers have too much power. So just, like, in this film, like, they're realizing, like, holy shit, we've given too much, we've done too much. And I'd like to think that our government would never get that bad, because we do have very vocal people in our world today. But the young folks specifically, like, in this film, need to continue to educate themselves and stay aware.
So, gosh, those were all really good points, by the way. Yeah, I think that's the biggest, like, thing with this film is, like, you know, you gotta shed light on things. And I think that, like, it's just that censorship, which is why banning books is so fucking dangerous. Like, I know, like, him having the Count of Monte Cristo is, like, symbolic. And, you know, in some regards, like, you might think, like, oh, that's funny, that's his favorite movie or book or whatever. But even though it's, like, fiction, it's still, like, it's a... piece of, same thing with this movie, it's a piece of fiction to that could literally spark anarchy. You know, like, it could spark kids for writing at a fucking, like, imprisonment, like, fucking correction facility, like, and they're the kinds of facilities too that aren't even fucking certified, you know. It's just a bunch of adults, like, raping children, honestly.
I mean, it's all, it's like you said, it's all about keeping educated with people. So, like, imagine they start banning books, start banning movies, like, we're not gonna have access to have freedom of thinking and speech of stuff like this. So, like, if us now watching this film, we're like, wow, we should have the right to make our own decisions and think correctly with our own brains. And that's the thing. And so that's why, like, this film was very much, like, not allowed in certain communities, because they didn't want people to have their own freedom of thinking.
Yeah, I would recommend
it, because control.
Yeah, Exactly. I haven't finished the series. Kinsey was telling me like mixed opinions about the later seasons, but I know the first two or three seasons of Handmaid's Tale, it's quite literally probably one of the most accurate representations on if modern day America were to ever conform into more of a totalitarian dictatorship and what that would look like. And I think the scariest part to it is like this isn't even a V to Vendetta level, where a part of it still feels a little bit science fiction. But I mean, even with V for Vendetta, like it very well really could help happen. And like, you can like to think that it couldn't happen all you want, but, my favorite part about Handmaid's Tale is the author has stated multiple times that, you know, she doesn't have a dark mind. She's only ever written things that have happened at some point in time, either going on today in the world or has happened before someplace somewhere in the world. So she's like, I don't have a dark imagination. Like the things that, you know, are in my story are going on today. Just, it might not be in front of your face. And it's like, it's not in any realm of imagination to not think that, like, you know, we could slip and lose that kind of, you know, control for people and freedom, you know?
Yeah. And I'd really like to think that stuff like that, you know, obviously they're working on banning things, but I'd really hope that they find a way to keep that stuff really regular. Like, I've been collecting like the banned books because I'm like, no, these are literally important to society and I'd like for people to be able to read them. Like, I remember I read Fahrenheit 451 when I was in high school and I was like, this book's literally amazing. And now it's on the banned book list, like 1984 banned book list, like so many.
When you say the word banned books, are we talking about at the school level?
It's at the school level, but they are trying to get them further than that. Like right now it's like certain schools will ban them. Like they were like, we don't want these books in schools, but there's like places where they're trying to fully ban these books. So like Fahrenheit 451, I don't know if you've read the book. Have you read it?
No.
It is a book about, a society where they are not allowed to read books. Like books are banned. Your only information you get is from the television, from your news, blah, 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 whatever. And when people have books, the firefighters, quote unquote, actually go and burn down all the books in the home. So one of the firefighters keeps a book and he reads it and he finds out all this information. And then there's people who live outside the society that have escaped that are big on reading and keeping up educated for these books in case they never exist. Like there's people who are rewriting books for this exact purpose. And it's all, again, like a control thing. If I keep you stupid, if I keep you with minimal information, if I keep you limited with how and where you can get your education, then I have control over you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know is exactly what's happening in this film. I mean, you saw her friend who had all these things hoarded in his basement locked away, and it's because the government gets rid of it to keep you under one power.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's literally that simple. And so clearly the thing is while we're watching this film, there's other people who agree with V. It just comes down to the right person to stand up to the government. Like, obviously, you know, Kinsey always says like, yeah, we need to fight the government back. And I'm like, that's great. But someone who looks like me has minimal power. Like I physically cannot do that much without probably dying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When our generation decides to all stand up as a whole unit, I'll be there. But unfortunately, I will admit, I am a terrified person that is not doing that by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, call me a pussy, I am.
Yeah.
And that's what that film's showing, is that, like, V clearly has enough passion to do this on his own.
Well, we talked about this even at Pride, talking about how, like, in the back of my mind, going, like, how scary it can be, because you never know when some crazy's about to, you know, spread their hatred around. And at the end of the day, Pride used to be a riot, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you have to understand those privileges. Like, the only reason we've ever progressed as a society was always a pushback. You know, it's this control that has come down, and it's that pushing them off, like, you know, no.
Yeah, I mean, I show up to places rebelling. Where people are. Me alone can do nothing, and I know that it just starts with one, but I'm too scared to do that. I admit that. But, like, you tell me, like, hey, we're having a protest for Black Lives Matter, for gay people, for Palestine. There was a protest the other day. I'm like, those are things, like, I'll show up, but I won't start them because I'm terrified of my life.
Yeah.
And I will admit that I am no V. I cannot set fire to the government. Yeah, 100%. But like the thing is we do need people like that, and that's the sad part.
Yeah, I think what you can do is just coming together when, and I know you do, like when it's time to vote and when it's time to protest, like that's the main thing, and signing petitions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the numbers. We don't
live in a world like this film where you're shot on spot, right? So like, even this film is showing you, like,
I mean,
the community comes together, they can't stop everyone.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you look back at 2020, like, you'd like to think that, like, you could, you know, peacefully protest and use your freedom of speech, but people did lose their lives during that. And so it's like, it's not out of reality to say that, like, oh, you can't get shot for what you say. It's like, I don't know. Like, I think that's what's been really dark about, like, it's feeling pretty surreal these days. And now that I'm watching films like this and talking about it, it's like, you know, it's not far off. And I think that's the conversation, you know, like, and it's just important to note and mention for the sake of, again, the conversation spreading in numbers, you know,
because
it's through story. Like, even that documentary has got me fucked up. And that was only 18 years ago. And it's like, I feel like conversion therapy to any degree, and even like severe, like almost like militaristic correction on, like, again, minors, where like probably half their trauma is coming from the home anyways, and then their home sends them off to somewhere to go get like fucking abused and, you know, raped and shit. It's just like, you know, again, who are you gonna believe? Like the bad teen that's been labeled a bad teen. Like, it's just, whenever there's unchecked power, like, that's where there's room for the voiceless, you know?
Yeah.
And it grows. Like, it's just fucking scary.
Yeah, and then so the episode, like, obviously comes to, like, its full circle, or the episode, the movie, with its full circle, where he's like, this is my final act. Like, this is what I've been building up for, and I'm going to go through with it.
I wasn't a fan. I was sad that he died.
So that's what I'm wondering. Like, is there a world where did the government get closer to discovering him simply based on the government? Or was it, did he do something to slip up? Did Evie do something that, like, you know, influenced this? Like,
I don't know. Like, it feels weird. Like, I think it's supposed to be symbolic for the people can now, like, passing the torch. He said, because at the end of the day, he didn't want to really be in control of, like, where people, the country went. Yeah, so it's like, he was just literally the spark. That's all he wanted to be, was the spark. He didn't really want to even, like, when it came down to pulling the subway handle thing, he didn't even want to be the one to do it, even though he fucking rigged the bombs and he's like blown up people and killed people all this far. He said, I want you, the people, to decide. He's like, I was just like the spark and the inspiration, the idea, you know.
Yeah,
you people have to, like, free yourselves, which Evie was, like, technically the one to get to make that decision, but you saw outside, everybody made the decision. I get why they did it. I don't like that they did it. I wanted him to live and be happy.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, in, like, in a perfect world where they didn't figure out his identity, which they did, they've discovered, well, the local police didn't, but the FBI agent, the one who, like, we knew, he knew who he was. But in a perfect world where no one discovered his identity and he makes a decision to pull the trigger, he still disappears, right? Like, he doesn't come back. There's no life for him post this event. Not in, like, the literal way, but, like, the metaphorical way. Like, he can escape the state he's in. You know,
I think he knew who he was, but, like, his identity as anonymous, like, for example, he left all of his stuff to Evie. Like, I don't think they would have found where he lived. Like, just because they had a record on who he was. I mean, it's the same thing with Evie. Like, just because she was wanted doesn't mean people recognized her. I think she still could have gotten away. Yeah,
but that's my thing. Like, can he still exist where he's at? Like, he can't really, like, he either has to force himself in hiding and hope they never find him, or he has to remove himself from the city state that they're in and, like, live a life somewhere else.
I just don't understand why that would have to be a resort. I feel like he could have left it up to Evie and they live happily ever after. And he leaves it into the people's hands. He's like, okay, I got y'all this far.
So, like, what he stays in his hiding? Because I think the FBI agent found, like, they knew his identity. They knew who he really was.
The thing is I feel like it had to have been the imprisonment and the self-isolation. He probably just, like, mentally, socially was not, like, that well, that, like, I think he only ever had plans for disrupting and, you know, disrupting the country's people to overthrow their government. But, like, he had no will or wish to be necessarily involved in, you know, the progression of, like, where it was going. He wanted it to be up to the people that, like, maybe he almost objectified himself as this idea to a point that he didn't even see himself as human, but the only human part that he saw in himself was being in love with Evie.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that wasn't enough to hold him back from his will for revenge, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he wanted people to be free. He didn't want people to have to go through what he went through.
Yeah.
And I think there's definitely a world where the film ends where he doesn't die. But I just, like, I can't even picture that world either, though. And that's where I'm like, maybe for him, like, death was just, like, his final conclusion. Like, he's like, I did all that I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I took care of everything. I set up the goal for you guys. I set up the mission. And I'm okay with ending it now. Because you're right, he didn't want to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
So for him, I think he was like, you know, I did it. I did it all. And it's up to you now. And which is technically the mission of the film too. Even if he lives, like, he still says, like, I did everything I was meant to do. It's up to the people now.
Yeah, like, I think the way I also worded it, just like, he objected himself to the point that he didn't see himself as human. He saw himself as the idea.
Yeah.
That I feel like he almost, it's not like this, I don't deserve to live. It's just like, that's all he ever painted it out to be in his head, like, to live up to. And he did that, you know?
Yeah.
Still sad. I don't think he should have died. Like, what the fuck was that? Like,
I wanted them to live happily ever after together, but
I shipped them so hard. Like,
had they ever lived happily ever after together, you would have saw him without his mask, and he would not have been as attractive as you thought.
No.
He was.
No, read the name of my name on here today.
I know, but they don't live happily ever after with the mask on forever.
Yeah, you can.
You'd be okay with staying with him forever with the mask.
Yep. I mean, he just needs to wash his face.
I did see your name. The mask stays on.
Yep.
I put mine as
number 4. I shipped them so hard, dude. They had really good chemistry.
They did. But, you know, it's kind of cringe when she kissed the mask, though, at the end.
Okay. Yeah. And what about it?
That's all. That's all I had to say.
You don't have to point out the obvious if the obvious is still, like, you know, that was his boundary. The mask stays on.
It wasn't Phantom of the Opera where Christine rips the mask off.
Okay, his mask, it's just covering one eye, like one half of his face. His mouth can still do the work. Like, this man was fully masked up. He's like, nah, you're not getting to see.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting. Again, going back to the idea that he doesn't even see himself as, like, a person, human. But just, like, yeah, this, like, idea. Like, he doesn't even want to put a face to it.
Yeah.
Which, like, is why I think when he dies, he's literally just, like, passing on a torch. It's not even, like, I don't even think he sees it as somebody dying. I think
that's the importance of how he passed the mask out, too. It is like an idea. So he's like, if I distribute this mask, whoever shall continue to be defiant to the government or insist on the freedom, like, this mask represents that. Which is why, yeah, to current date, like you said at the beginning of the episode, like, the people of Anonymous wear that mask.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is an idea. It is a concept. It's not supposed to be a person. It literally, this mask is supposed to represent, like, freedom and anarchy, mm-hmm, to freedom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love Black History Month.
Why am I friends with you? Oh my gosh.
It's about freedom. It's about putting the power back into the peoples and challenging, you know, the corruption, rebelling, and pushing back. Yeah. Yes.
You're not wrong.
But in Britain.
Kaylin, that's to say there wasn't a single Black person in this film.
You don't know what his historical, you know, documentations might
hold. You're not wrong.
In his DNA ancestry.
You are not wrong. Thank you, Kaylin. Thank you for reminding me how Black people come in many colors and from many places.
And in V's case, textures.
Yeah. You're not incorrect.
Oh, I ship them so hard, dude.
Well, I'm glad that...
Do you want to talk about the gay man's basement for a second? He had a gay porn down there hung up.
Yeah, it was very interesting because you're just like, he's like walking through his basement and he's like, yeah, that's the Quran. That's this. And then
he's like,
then
I don't even read it.
She just like peeps over his shoulder and he's like, oh, that.
I'm fucking gay.
It's like so heavily implied, right? And it's like, oh. And then they like, and then it's like you. It really sinks in when she's like reading the note later from the gay woman. You're like, dang, people can't even be gay in this year.
Yeah, people can't even like love each other. There was a very similar kind of like moment in Handmaid's Tale. She has successfully attempted like running away, so she's officially missing. She's also pregnant, I think, at this point in the film. Yeah, I think maybe she's not pregnant. I can't remember. Which she's in the middle of running away and there's like kind of this underground railroad for getting you to Canada. And she's staying at this guy's house. Like he came, picked her up and he had a son and a wife. And he said, okay, we have to go to church and we'll be back at a certain time. And while they were gone, she found their Quran that they had hidden. So while they were at church, like she was like pulling it out and like, I don't know if her husband was Muslim in the story. She seemed very emotionally attached to it, but then he wasn't back by the time that he said he was. They got caught. And so she's like, I got dipped. And she like dipped out of there.
Dang.
I know, it was pretty sad, but
Did you tear up in the movie when she was reading the note from the gay girls?
You know, I hate to say because it's been a few weeks. I can't remember when I teared up. I know I teared up a few times. I can't remember if it was specifically at the end or which moments exactly, like whether it was a kid or just the climax. I can't remember when I teared up.
I've like cried.
I was very
when
sad,
I first watched the movie, but I was like, I'm not going to cry this time. Like when she first found the letter, I was like, I'm not going to cry this time. And then as it kept going, I was like starting to tear up and I was like, oh my God, I said I wasn't going to cry.
Yeah, I was going to bring it's that like, up next. I was going to say like... This movie feels pretty progressive for a 2000s film because I feel like 2000s was still pretty fucking homophobic. Like, I think even Ellen got like a fucking lot of like, I know that wasn't 2000s, but it was like coming up right on 2000 when Ellen came out and it was like a whole big deal. You know, like celebrities are now like just openly coming out.
Yeah. I mean, they do a very good job. I mean, I think it's like the way the story's told and then seeing the imagery of like the woman sitting on the couch as like her life is slowly getting ripped away from her day by day by day. Because obviously this is like early when the government first got really shitty, right? And it's like day by day. Like I would imagine if our government decided to go full anarchy like tomorrow, like the first thing they'd do is like come for fucking brown people. Like day by day, they're like coming through, taking brown people away one by one. And then it's like, okay, now we're coming for queer people one by one by one, like getting picked off. You know what I mean? And like, there's nothing you could do. Like, Kaylin, if I'm sitting there hidden in your house, like there's nothing you could do. You have to sit there and watch the government come in and take apart your friends and family day by day by day. Which is like how that woman felt like as a gay woman sitting here watching like her, like on the news, watching rights get taken slowly more and more and more. And then more and more, they're like kidnapping people and then more rights. And like, she can't fight back.
I think the scariest part is their depiction. And I know that V's depiction was all an illusion to try to, like, fucking make sure he could trust Evie again. But, like, just the idea that, like, I mean, hell, oh my God, we didn't even talk about the revenge people, like, the doctor he got back at. We didn't talk about the whole conspiracy. Fucking love the cover up, by the way, that like that seems like such a legit thing. Like I love the conspiracy, which it wasn't a conspiracy, but you know what I mean, like they covered it up because they were trying to come up with a biological weapon, which then like kind of like they wanted to do like this outbreak slash we have the cure for control.
Yeah,
that was wild. And the fact that they were doing human experimentation again has happened in human history. It's fucking you know, bizarre.
Yeah, they're like, what's another thing we can gain control of the people of? Like, what's another step we can do?
Their health.
Their health. Yep.
Mm-hmm. and holding it over their head. And again, it gave power, money to the people who are rich, power now. And so I like that he also came after, like, individually, like, each and every one of them. And it was so fucking stone cold eerie when she was asleep and she's like, "You're gonna kill me." And he's like, "I did it 10 minutes ago." And she's like, "Can I be sorry?" And he's like, "You can always be sorry." Like, I like that he's like, "I can't control you. You're completely free to be sorry. You're completely free to, you know, be a piece of shit till the end, but I'm here to kill you."
Yeah, like, the way he went about his revenge is very graceful, and he made it a point to be like, "Yes, you're dying, and this is your chance to say whatever you want, because you're allowed to do whatever you want. You made your actions, I made my actions, so continue."
Dude, oh my god, literally gives me chills. Very eerie, very cool scene where he killed her. I think that
scene particularly really put into perspective, like, what he was doing, you know, because at first you're just like, he's killing these people. Like, it looked like an aggressive, like, killing spree. But then you see him kind of sit down with this woman. Yeah. But, like, you sit there and you see it and you're like, wow, like, he really is just doing what he's got to do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is that a child?
You said, is that a child?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Kamari crying because she can't eat anything.
Oh,
it's okay.
Poor girl.
She'll be okay.
Well, now my mood's gotten a tamper put onto it.
I'm so glad that you enjoyed this film, Kaylin. I was actually like, the reason why I pushed back from sharing this film for so long was like, I was like, will they like it? Is the timing right? Is it too dark? Is it too, like, much of a thinker? You know what I mean? Like, I was so nervous showing it to you guys that I wasn't sure that you guys would enjoy it as much as I enjoyed it.
Well, you got the timing perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Sometimes it's hard when I want to show, like, either a very serious or a very unserious film. Like, say you guys are showing, like, unserious stuff, but my brain's, like, hyper-fixated on something that's really dark and, like, mysterious and super serious. I'm like, I can't go from fucking Mean Girls to this. So yeah. I never really know, like, what I'm doing.
Well, we'll definitely have to force Kinsey to watch it one day, because I'm 100% sure she's gonna really like it, and yeah, I'm gonna kick her butt.
Bro, podcast aside, this is definitely a film I think Kinsey particularly would love, so we gotta get her to watch it.
We have to. I'm literally gonna force her.
Well, Kaylin.
Well, Mariah. What
are we watching next week, Kaylin?
I asked first.
That's crazy, because it's your week, though. So what are you showing me?
I haven't thought that far ahead.
You haven't thought that far ahead.
Yeah. I mean, so we're probably going to record, what, next week, I'm assuming?
I mean, if not, we can record the week after. Hold on. Let me pull my calendar, because after we missed a week, I did rework everything. Hold on one second. I'll tell you. So we're uploading on the 19th, so we have the last day to record is by the 26th. Not technically, but you know what I mean. Like, I put it in that we, like,
would you be down to for watching some Spy X Family?
Yeah, I guess I can watch some Spy X Family.
Yeah, we'll have to discuss an amount to watch so you don't get spoilers, and then I'll have to recap with Kinsey, like, you can't talk about this much. Because, like, honestly, I've been taking it really, like, bite by bite, like, Colin and I have been very touch go with it, and it's kind
Kinsey's
of like
watched, like, all of it.
Yeah, I know she's watched all of it, but the thing is like, it's not like Sugar Apple Fairy Tale where there's a very huge significant plot point you missed. I think if you get to a certain point, it's almost like, okay, he's a spy, the mom's an assassin, the daughter's a telepath, how are they gonna go about their day today, you know? And there's, like, a slow minor progression of stuff, but I can tell it's like, it's supposed to be a cozier kind of consumption anime. I don't think it's something that, like, you know, watching an extra whole season of, like, you know, I think you'll get more plot out of it, but I don't think it's necessary. Like, it'll probably be very similar, like, topic still. Like, we're going to be still just mentioning what Anya's like, or, you know, other things.
Yeah, just let me know. It's not something that I've really wanted to watch. I've seen extended clips of it, and it doesn't feel like, you're right, it doesn't, like, there seems to be only so much to talk about.
It's still really cute. I love the characterization, which I don't normally watch stuff like that, but it's pretty wholesome.
It's what? I'm sorry.
It's pretty wholesome.
Yeah, that's what it does, like a wholesome anime, and you know, I don't watch that stuff too much. That's why I'm just give me a good amount so I know how much I have to watch.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can reconvene.
You know me, I be watching only things that keep me on the edge of my seat, so.
Oh yeah, like haiku.
It does. I feel like you said it with some sarcasm.
I might have said it with some autism.
It does, in fact, keep me on the edge of my seat. Aside from haiku, though, I really only watch like action fantasy stuff, so.
If you keep hearing that popping noise, that's me.
Yeah, I do, you goofball. You got a bunch of bubble wrap from your entrepreneurship.
Yeah, from my entrepreneurship.
So exciting. Well, guys, we'll talk to you next time with Spy X Family.
Talk to you guys next week.